I want you to know I love you this morning, and I promise you, this is what God's laid on my heart.
Amen.
So, my thought will be a purpose for discipline.
Amen.
And what the purpose is.
Yep.
I believe in all my heart, right off the bat, the purpose for discipline is of the church is because we love somebody.
Amen.
We want to help them get back to a place that they might be able to repent and get back close to God.
Amen.
We're never coming after nobody. It's never about nothing like that. But the purpose also is for His church to be spotless and blameless.
Amen.
And I believe that, and I believe that's something we've been left with. I'm going to read something that may not seem like it has anything to do with our thoughts, but I told my wife coming over here this morning that sometimes it just seems like I start off somewhere and I have to go way, way around to get back to where it's what we're trying to get out. And I need the Lord this morning that I don't leave none of that out.
Amen.
That it all tie together.
Amen.
I believe we represent something here.
Amen.
And so y'all pray for us. I want to read very familiar scriptures out of Exodus chapter 12 for a reading lesson. Please pray for me. I know this is a little different. I hardly ever do this. But I'm sitting back there and I'm about sick. And I've got to try to get this off of me. This has been going on for several months now. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take them, every man, a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for their house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, and shall make your account for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And I normally would go on and read, but because we're going to have to try to read a whole lot today, I want to stop there in the 6, and it says that they was to take a lamb or a young goat without blemish, a male of the first year. So they had to take the one that was perfect. They couldn't go out and just pick anything. They chose the one that was perfect, without any kind of blemish, any kind of spot, any kind of anything wrong with it. It would have been easy for them to just, this is going to be a sacrifice, they would just give maybe the weak one or one that wasn't as well. But they had to take one without a blemish, without a spot. Now, I want to go over here and read to you once again for a text, and it'll be quite a bit of reading. But once again, you're probably going to think, what's this got to do with what you're talking about? I want you to realize that lamb or that young goat represented our Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it was would be without spot or without blemish. There should be nothing wrong with it. And so that's what they was to choose out, and he would not have been satisfied with anything else. And I want you to realize today, when it comes to his church, he's not going to be satisfied with just anything. I want you to realize today it's going to have to be something without spot and without blemish. And I believe in all my heart, you say, well, Brother Jeff, there ain't no perfect church. No, there's not. Our records will never match his records. There's going to be people that we're not going to take out of the body down here that he's going to remove from his record as far as being a church member because they're going to do things we may not ever deal with it. He will. I want you to know, we'll read to you in a little while, he's going to present it to himself spotless without a blemish. So we realize that today, and I believe we'll take people off our road down here that he will not recognize. And you say, I don't believe it. I do believe that. I believe you can wrongfully exclude somebody. I believe that in all my heart. So our books may not be with his books when it comes to the church and the bride. But I also believe that we're to do the very best we can. We're to do the very best we can, knowing, you say, well, nobody can live without sin. Absolutely, nobody can live without sin. I agree, amen. No church is perfect. I agree, amen. No church is perfect. But just because you can't live without sin does not mean it gives you a right to go out and do what you want. You're still to do the very best you can. And just because a church is not perfect doesn't mean he can go on and do whatever he wants. You're to do the very best that you can. So I want to read over here in 2 Peter, and we normally read this to do. It's talking about the end of time. We normally read this to do with lost people at the end of time. But he deals with a little something else, right? At the end of this, and it's got to do with us. And the Lord is not slack concerning this. Is in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in the 9th verse. And y'all just bear with us a little while, and we're going to try to make a point. And we're going to try to bring us together. And I'm often asked, I want to say this. I've got family members saying, why do y'all believe in church discipline? Why do y'all do this? Why would you exclude somebody? Why would you take somebody off your roll? Why would you do this? And I tried to explain to them, and I want you to realize it ain't nobody likes doing that. If you like church discipline, you're different than me. I don't care nothing. When something's coming up like that in church, I'm a nervous wreck. It just bothers me to the core. It kills me to the core. But we do realize these things have to be dealt with. He expects us to deal with them. I've often used over about Jonah, and Jonah was on that boat, and they done everything they could to keep Jonah on that boat. They done everything they could to take care of Jonah. They paddled. They worked. They worked hard trying to get to land. They did not want to put Jonah in the water. But it come to a point they had to put Jonah overboard, or the whole ship was sunk. Jonah was going into the belly of the whale. Whether the ship sunk or because he was took off of it. And so they done everything they could, and I believe a church should do everything it can to try to get somebody. We do not take somebody out of fellowship because of the sin. We take them out because they failed to repent of the sin. And they done everything they could to help Jonah, but it come a point they had to put him overboard. You got your finger on them scriptures now. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? and looking for the hasting and unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now listen, wherefore, beloved, he's talking to God's people, the church here. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So he's telling the church then, you find yourself this way. And it wasn't only important that people be saved in that moment, but it's important for us to find ourselves without spot and blameless when it comes to that day. There's going to come a day when the Lord is going to come back. And if you've not been saved by God's grace, you're going to be cast into a lake of fire. I live in hell forever, but listen to me. I think it's very important for me, myself. I would love to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I would like the Lord to find a good operating church that he would be pleased with here at Hilltop when he comes back. We, Brother Larry talked about a man this morning named Achan. Achan took of the cursed thing. And because he took of the cursed thing, all of Israel had to pay a price. Now listen to me. There was 39 men that died in a battle. And that one time, David counted all the men of Israel to see if he was going to have enough to win a battle. He went into, when he done this, and it was a cursed thing because he done that. 60,000 Israelites died because of that. I want you to realize a little leaven leaveth the whole lump.
Amen.
So he told them to be diligent. Be aware of your surroundings. I be found spotless and blameless. I want you to realize that lamb represented Jesus Christ. That young goat represented Jesus Christ. It had to be spotless and blameless. Do you realize today Hilltop Church represents Jesus Christ here on this earth? Over in Corinthians, y'all pray for us. This, you think this is something I enjoy, you've lost your mind. You think this is something I look forward to, you're crazy. I have family members, I've done told you how people ask me all the time, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? It's important is why we do it. He's left this church in our hands. He has made me a little under shepherd over here. Am I to teach you the doctrine of this Bible? I'm to teach you what he's left behind for us. Amen. That we might be found spotless, blameless, without a blemish.
Amen.
And I want you to realize today, that's not always easy. We're going to have to preach on things that's not going to be popular. We're going to have to preach on things that people ain't going to like. We're going to have to say things that you're not going to enjoy. We're going to have to do things that we don't enjoy. We've got to do unpopular things. But I want you to know Jesus never was popular among the world. And I want you to know his church is not going to be popular among the world. Why would we expect a man to come and live perfect without sin on earth and then marry a bride that was a harlot? Would you expect that? Would you? He's without spot, without blemish. And I want you to know his bride will not be a harlot neither.
Amen.
He
He's going to choose him out one. He's going to separate her out from all the rest, and she's going to be perfect. We went to a wedding last Saturday. The bride come down to yonder wearing white, a white garment, and she didn't have a spot on it nowhere. Oh, I looked at that groom as he walked down the aisle, as I've done many a time. I went, everybody, you say, stand for the reverence of the bride. Everybody stands, and they turn around and look that way. You want to know who I look at? I look at that groom. I look at him when she walks down through yonder, and that smile on his face, the tears rolling down his cheek. There comes his bride. Without a spot, without a blemish. He's excited about it. He's humbled about it. I want you to know Jesus Christ ain't going to settle for nothing less.
Amen. Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We're his body.
Yeah, amen.
Over he told them over in John's gospel, I believe it's chapter 8, he said, I'm the light of the world. Men do work while there's light, because the night comes when the men ain't able to work. I want you to know what he tell the church. He said, ye are the light of the world.
Yeah.
When he went to be with the Father, he left us here to be what? A light to the world. To represent him, to put people see Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church, they should see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They should see love. Yeah. They should see compassion. They should see mercy. They should see all these things. They also should see discipline. He compared in Ephesians chapter 5, and I love those scriptures. He compared a husband and a wife and him and his church. When he gave the church the Lord's Supper, he took of it and he told them, he said, I'll not take of this again, though I take of it anew with you. In my Father's house. That was a promise he made to his bride. And I want you to know we've got a promise unto him. We shouldn't be taking of it with anybody else. When we do that, it don't only hurt us, but it hurts him. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's what I'm trying to do today. That's what I'm responsible for as an under-shepherd. I'm to preach the word of God. The whole counsel of it. Some of it we don't want to hear. But by preaching the word and telling the truth, we're able to keep ourselves clean. That's what the word of God does. We used to have the piano set over here and had a mirror on it. And I said it was our magic mirror. James talked about a man looking into a glass. And he went away and forgot what manner of person he was. He compared it to looking into the perfect law of liberty. Looking into the word of God. It will tell you your faults. It will tell you everything wrong with you.
And if you will see yourself for what you are and do something about it, it will help you. But if you go away, if you leave here today and don't get to Highway 52 and you forget about what the man of God had to say, what the word of God had to say, and you forget all about it, it will never help you.
That he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I want to tell you that's what he's going to have. And whether Hilltop Church is a part of that or not, I can't say just yet. But I want her to be. You know why I want her to be? Because I'm a member of her. Because you're a member of her. Because we represent him. Amen. Here on this earth. And we should be as good as we possibly can be. We are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill should not be hid. We shouldn't put our light under a bushel. We represent Jesus Christ. He and his church is one. Me and my wife is one. I'm not the best part of that. I'm not. She's a lot better person than I am. She really is. But I love her, and she's my bride. When we met her, I may have told this before, I guess I have. We bought an old trailer. We sit down. I figured up how much money I was going to need to make to be able to get married. I sat down, we figured it up. We could afford a $110 payment. And we found a old single-wide trailer down in the Carthage, and it had flood damage, and it was in bad shape. And we bought it for $3,000. I went up there and sat down in front of the bank. As a 17-year-old boy at the time, me and my daddy, and we sat down there, and he told me, he said, your payment's going to be $10. And I was like, wow. So at the time, I just went to work at American Ingredients. And you know what my first paycheck was? I still got my paycheck stuff, $116. And I went and bought her a wedding band. And me and my daddy went to fix up that old trailer and everything. He'd say, let's paint this white, son. We want it to be like your bride. And I'd say, well, get out the white paint, daddy. Pure. Blameless without a spot. We got Rocky Mountain, and boy, I'm telling you, she come walking down that aisle, and her train got caught in the screen door back there, and she was trying to go back and unhang it, and her brother-in-law was giving her away because her daddy was sick, and he was trying to drag her, and I was thinking, what in the world is going on? There's my bride. She's trying to leave. She don't want to marry me. And it just broke my heart. What's happening? Don't you think it, though, as you walking down the aisle and you're turning back, going back the other way? You don't think it don't bother him that you ain't focused on him?
Amen.
That you're going back, you're hung up on the world? Just let go. She come on up there yonder, and she was the prettiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I
felt so unworthy to stand up beside her. Boy, he wants a bride. Fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, it talks about a fornicator. And then, after it talks about how they should put that person out from among them. In the seventh verse, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Ye are unleavened, for even Christ is our Passover sacrifice for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of the world, or with covetous, or extortioners, with idolaters, or for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man be called a brother, and be a fornicator, or covetous, or adulterer, or a reller, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one, not to eat. And he's not talking about one time how Jesus went to eat with a man named Peter, and a sinner woman, the Bible said, heard of him going to be there, and she come there and washed his feet with her tears and dried it with her hair. He's not talking about us going up here and eating at Grecian's or Latina. He's talking about keeping his covenant. He said he would not keep taking what nobody else done in taking you in the Father's house. He said, I won't take it with nobody else. I love you. I love you only. And he said, don't you be taking it with people that's got a spot or a blemish. We're to keep the covenants as holy as we possibly can. For what have I do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. What is the purpose of church discipline? Why do we have church discipline? Because you represent Jesus Christ. Because you represent Jesus Christ. Because we want to win them back. My daddy never once whooped me just because he enjoyed it. My daddy whooped me because he loved me. I don't believe in this church discipline and the church down the road. I don't think we have authority to do that. I think each body is an individual body. And we should rule over ourselves. But I do believe we should have discipline among our body. And you say, well, Brother Jeff, I don't believe that. Then I'm sorry. I've read it to you all through the scriptures. Why we're to do what we do. Do I like it? Not a bit more than you do. I don't like when it comes to business time and have to deal with these kind of things. And if you do like it, you're different than I am. I can't help it. I don't get excited about it. I don't think he takes pleasure in chastising us. But I think he loves us. You may have never had to get up in church and apologize. I have. I've had to get up and say, I'm sorry. I believe it's something that's needful today.
I believe we've got so full of pride. I'm afraid we're raising our children full of pride.
Yeah.
I'm afraid our churches have become full of pride.
Yeah.
We see very little humility anymore. I think it's something we're losing. So to say that I wanted to preach on this today, this has been going on for 6 months. And you say, well, you cared. You should have preached on it. Said, I've been trying to wait for when he said it was time.
Amen. Amen.
And when he said this past week, he said, it's time.
Amen.
I said, help me. Please help me. That's the reason I had to get it over with. I couldn't stand up there and hope to get it past me. I couldn't go another week. My wife said, coming over here, she said, you was having nightmares last night. She said you would whine and said you would mumble stuff. I've had nightmares for a while. But if I love you, I'll tell you the truth. Word, my job is to make sure the word of God goes out. My job is to make sure you know what it says. Where we stand in front of him someday and we are presented to him. We'll be something he'll be pleased with. I hope I didn't leave too much out. I hope it makes a little sense to you. But the purpose for church discipline has never hurt nobody. We're to do it out of love. They didn't even know Jonah, and they did not want to put him overboard. We're to do it in compassion. We're going to consider ourselves, as it says over in the Galatian letter, consider yourself. We should consider ourselves. I've failed so many times. I've come short so many times. We're to do all these things. But when somebody will not repent, then we got a responsibility to do not only to them, but also to God. Look at Hastings coming to the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, my beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless. I pray we're found that way.
Amen.
I don't ever ask for you to give me kind words. I don't ever even ask for you to shake my hand. But if you love me,
amen,
I wish you'd show me. Because this has been hard. And I sure don't want to have to go home and have more nightmares.
Amen.
So, Sean, we'll have a song.
Amen.
If you care anything about me today, I wish you'd show it. Because I love you.
Amen.
I love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.